Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What an awesome worship time we had. Inviting the presence of the Lord, feeling his touch. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. We are all about love, the love of God, love of ourselves, and love each other. Because you know, the Bible says if you to love others as you love yourself. So if you don't love yourself, you can't love others. But you can't love yourself or love others unless you first love God. Amen. So we're glad you're here with us today. And I want to share a message that the Lord put on my heart about an open heaven. What is an open heaven? And how do we live under one? Deuteronomy 28:23 says, when speaking about the signs of the curse, that the heaven which is over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you iron. So first we learned that an open heaven is a sign of the blessing, because whatever is opposite of the curse is the blessing. So if a bronze heaven, or it seems like our prayers aren't getting to God, they're just hitting the ceiling and bouncing back, that's what we call a bronze heaven. Our prayers are being blocked. And that is actually one of the signs of the curse. So an open heaven would be a sign of the blessing. In Genesis 22, 15 through 18, it says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of the enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. But here we see that in open heaven, blessing and favor come from above through our obedience. In the realm of the spirit, there are seasons and times when the heavens seem to be more open than at others. An open heaven means blessings, favor, and glory of God flow freely upon his people. It's a time of abundance and acceleration where prayers are answered, visions become reality, and the supernatural becomes natural. How many of you want that kind of life? Amen. Well, consider the life of Abraham, who obeyed God's voice and kept his charge. Because of his faithfulness, he experienced the blessings of an open heaven. And through his offspring, all nations would be blessed. How many of you could say in that situation that you'd be willing to sacrifice your only son? But this was also a picture of what Yahweh was going to do and sacrifice his own son, Yeshua. So when we are obedient and we obey God, we see an open heaven. We see this in the New Testament at Jesus' baptism. The heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Throughout his ministry, Yeshua lived under an open heaven, demonstrating the power and love of the Father. And on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were gathered together when suddenly the sound of a rushing wind filled the room, tongues of fire resting upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. This marked the beginning of a new era, an open heaven season for the church. Throughout history, there have been revivals and awakenings, times when the heavens were open and the presence of God was palatable. Think of the Great Awakening in the 18th century, the Azusa Street Revival in the early 20th century, or the Jesus Movement of the 1970s. During these seasons, countless lives were transformed and the church was empowered to to impact the world. If you don't know about these revivals, go to your history books, research it, learn about what brought that revival in, what ushered in open heaven in each of these revivals, and how it impacted the people. So how can we position ourselves for an open heaven? First, we must hunger and thirst for God's presence above all else. Like David, we should declare, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Psalms 27:4 for that. And Moses, who the Lord would speak to face as a man speaks to his friend. See Exodus 33:11. And in 33:13, he asked Yahweh to show him his glory. Actually, the whole chapter is a good example of what it means to live under an open heaven and how to open the windows over your life. As we read Exodus 33, we discover that what might be at first glance appear to be a contradiction between verses 11 and 18. In one, God speaks to Moses face to face, but in the other, God says that no man can see his face and live. How can we reconcile this apparent contradiction? The key to understanding this is to recognize that the Bible often uses the term face as a figure of speech to refer to the presence or person of someone rather than their literal physical face. So when it says that God spoke to Moses face to face in Exodus 33:11, it means that God spoke to Moses directly and personally in a very intimate and familiar way, just as one friend speaks to another. It doesn't necessarily mean that Moses saw God's literal physical face. On the other hand, when God says in Exodus 33:20 that no man can see my face and live, he refers to the fact that no sinful human can see his glory and live. The glory of God is so holy and pure that it would be deadly to a sinful person. Even Moses, who was a very godly man, could not see God's glory and live. So God covered Moses with his hand and passed by in front of him, proclaiming his name, and then removed his hand and hid him in the cleft of the rock so that he could see God's back, but not his face. So there's no real contradiction between these verses in Exodus 33. In one, face-to-face is a figure of speech, meaning a direct and personal conversation. In the other, face refers to God's glorious presence, which was too much for a sinful man to see and survive. We see this play out in the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. As Peter pointed out, Satan filled their hearts to lie to the Holy Spirit, and both immediately dropped dead upon being confronted with their guilt. On the other hand, the people at Exodus 33 hung back and let Moses talk to Yahweh. They understood that coming into his presence and encountering his glory was dangerous. This fear of the Lord is sadly lacking in the church for most of us today. I'm not saying every church, but I think, at least in here in America, many churches have a sad lacking of the fear of the Lord. American churches have become more like social clubs than a place to meet with our Lord and Savior and learn how to be kingdom citizens, destroying the works of the enemy. We would rather have ego-stroking sessions and seeker-friendly meetings. Pastors are abusing their flocks, and many are being called out and judged in this hour. The church looks just like the world, engaging in carnal and ungodly behavior. In this election season, the church is as divided as the rest. How can you call yourself a Christian and vote for a party or candidates that are committed to killing babies and promoting a lifestyle that God calls an abomination? How can you follow pastors who openly support these ungodly values? What do you think would happen if unrepentant sinners playing church started dropping dead when the glory showed up? It's probably the mercy of God that he doesn't show up in many churches. You might see a lot of people dropping dead on the floor. Either that, or they might run to the altar to repent if they're convicted. I remember a certain revival in Pensacola, Florida, back in the 1990s. It was probably a testament to the sincere desire of the leadership and some members to see God's glory. When the glory did show up, people ran to the altars and repented, and a revival was sparked that lasted 5 years. People were saved, delivered, and healed. All kinds of contraband were left at the altars as the people left them committed to getting baptized and living right. So we see that to live under an open heaven, we must first repent. We must desire a true and intimate relationship with Yahweh. We are persistent in asking and seeking the Lord and his ways. Then we need to live a life of obedience, like Abraham. As we follow God's commands and principles, we create an environment where his blessings can flow freely. Yeshua said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And in Deuteronomy, we learn about the blessing and the curse. And when we are walking in obedience, our life begins to look more and more like the blessing and not the curse. So it's a good chapter to study and compare our lives to judge ourselves. If we judge ourselves, we won't be judged, the Bible says. So let's look at the blessing and the curse and examine our lives and see, does my life look like this or does my life look like this? God says, choose life. He set before the Israelites blessing and cursing, life and death. And he begged them, please choose life. And when we choose life and blessing, the heavens open up above us and God's goodness flows down. As we hunger for God, ask with persistence, live in obedience, and walk in faith, because we have to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We can experience the favor and blessings of an open heaven. And we must always remember, an open heaven is not so you can look good or live a comfortable life. No, it's so that we can live in the abundance of blessings that become a testimony of God's glory and love. It is so our lives can say to a hopeless and dying world, there is life and hope and everything you need and desire in a real Savior, and his name is Yeshua. Come to him and let him show how good he is and how much he loves you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this encouraging message that helped us understand that we can live under an open heaven, blessings flowing down. It's your desire to bless us and see us prosper and be in health. You want us to be kingdom citizens that demonstrate the goodness of God, that you are real and you love us. And that living in your kingdom as one of your children is a blessing. It causes things to go well in our lives. It's a place where we can get healed, delivered, set free, that we are cared for in every area of our life. You're a good, good Father. And we lift up the name of Yeshua today and we say thank you. Thank you for blessing us. Help us to be repentant and obedient and allow your blessings to flow in our lives so that we can be good kingdom citizens and good examples of your goodness, drawing people to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope you were encouraged. I know this was just a short message, but that's all I have for you today. So if you have any more questions or comments about this or any of my messages, please send me an email, lotsofloveministries@yahoo.com. And as I always do, as you go about your week, doing life in the presence of the Lord, opening a heaven above you to your obedience and faith. I bless you with shalom in your home.